Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 25, the second paragraph, beginning with, "The great fact is just this," and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, "We could never do by ourselves." Today's readers are Tenzin P., the 12 Steps, and Marie M., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Leah S. in the text, Christina L. on page 164, and Kathy M. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Devorah S., and our second hour moderator is Barbara P. The share IDs for Tuesday, March 17th, 2026 are 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,291. That's 23,291. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 23,292. That's 23,292. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And yes, here are our precious 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Tenzin. I will now ask Anne-Marie M. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning. The 12 Traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you, Anne Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 25, the second paragraph, beginning with, "The great fact is just this," and we'll be reading that one paragraph, ending with, "We can never do by ourselves." I will now ask Leah S. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. The great fact is just this, and nothing less. We have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. What a powerful paragraph. Okay, what is the fact? The fact is that Leah was always petrified. I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of haughtiness within me. Who am I? What am I? And I'm not going to be perfect, you know. What is the fact? The fact is that I cannot change you. I cannot change your attitude towards me. I cannot change circumstances that I'm in. I cannot do anything. I needed to experience an effective spiritual experience. So I went to page 567, and over there, they're telling me, just be different than what you were before. These things that you were before, they were making you angry, and you were going berserk, and all you did was pop your stuff into your mouth. And now just change yourself. That's it. Don't focus on that psychological change, but try and hope that you will be able to change from that attitude of negativity to go into a equal, healthy boundary kind of way. And they're saying on page 568, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. And I really took it to heart. And then they're saying that it revolutionized my whole attitude. My attitude was, I'll allow you to be who you are, whatever you are. I can't change you anyway. It doesn't make a difference. But there are things that I can do for myself that can help me. And that attitude, which started to implement itself and manifest itself towards others and everybody else, it just made an impact on me and definitely on others as well. And that is the truth. That is the fact that God has done so many miracles in my life that every time that happens, I get really, really excited. And it's just like, oh, I didn't do anything for that to happen. But look at that. God just is there if you look out for him. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Leah. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Harlan Jesus S.P. Lynn A.
Okay. Okay, I think I'm. Well, I know I heard Harlan. Was that Jen A?
Harlan G.
Harlan G. I got you.
Oh, Kim A.
Hold on, just. Okay, I'm not doing very well here this morning, guys. Sorry, you're going to have to just come on in again.
All right, Lucy A.
Lynn F.
Joyce B.
Lynn S.
Janice H.
Okay. Who is that? Gwyneth?
Janice.
The gentleman? Janice PM?
Janice.
Who is the gentleman? I'm hearing a gentleman there. I didn't quite get his name. Somebody P.
Joyce B.
Joyce? Okay. Hold on just... Okay, Carrie S. Okay,
Joyce B.
Okay, got you, Joyce B. Here's who I've got, and I know I missed some names, okay? And we're going to sort through this. Okay, I've got Harlan G., Kim A., Lucy A., I think Lynn S., Janice PM, Carrie S., Joyce B., I know I've missed some people. There was a gentleman there that I didn't quite get. Every time you say that, I'm talking, and I just haven't heard you. One more time.
Rick T.
How do you spell your first name?
R-I-C-K.
Okay. Did you say, is this Rick?
Yes.
Okay, Rick T. Okay, gotcha.
Did you get Carrie C?
Okay, and I've got Carrie C. So, okay, guys. So I've got Harlan G, Kim A, Lucy A, Lynn S, Janice PM, Rick P, Carrie C, and Joyce B.
Radmila A.
Oh, and there was and Janice H. Okay, not PM. Okay.
Oh yeah, it is Janice PM too.
Oh, and Janice PM.
Yeah, and there was another Janice. You got it. You're doing a good
okay.
job.
LCR.
Janice, okay. Okay. Okay, guys. All right. Harlan G, Kim A, Lucy A, Lynn S, Janice H, Rick P, Carrie C, Joyce B, and of course Janice PM. All right, so we are going to kick it off now, and we'll start with Harlan G. Go ahead, Harlan, and then Kim A, you'll be right after Harlan.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm going to give you some facts about my life this morning. I woke up. Yesterday, I walked 3 miles. I intend on doing that today. I'm just late, much later than normal. I overslept, which isn't rare for me. Everything I committed to yesterday was done. I was on time for everything. I worked hard. I made money. I pay my bills. I am who I say I am. I don't have to be a chameleon. I don't have the guilt, the shame, the remorse, the indignity of what I ate yesterday and who might have seen me coming out of Dunkin' Donuts and who might have come and seen me coming out of God knows where. I'm alive in every sense of the word, and I am in recovery, and I am useful to other people. I am useful and respectful of myself. These are just a few of the things that are very true about my life. Forget that I have 27 years of abstinence. Forget that I've lost over 500 pounds, and I've kept it off for 27 years. I have a life today that I'm proud of. I can't get there on my own. The central fact is, the great fact is this and nothing less, that I have had deep and effective spiritual awakenings which have revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, toward my fellows, and toward God's universe. I feel God's presence in my life. I am happy when the joy of other people is apparent to me. I don't have to take sadness in their joy. I don't have to live in that jealousy anymore. I am certain today, I don't suspect it, I am certain today that God is entered my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for me, which I could never have done for myself. I'm alive, and I have tasted life. Before, I was existing like an animal, eating and eating and eating, and that's all I did. I am alive, and if I die today, I know what life tastes like. I can't get there by myself on my own. God brought me to OA, and OA brought me to God, and I'm loving every minute of it. This is the easier, softer way. This is the greatest way of life imaginable. And as it says on page 88 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. It really does. And if God can do that for a compulsive overeater like me, think of what he can do for you. These are miracles, things which have no common sense, no scientific basis. I'm alive today, and if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. Keep trudging that path. Thank you for your service, Rick. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Kim A., you are up next, followed by Lucy A., and if you don't mind, just remember to include where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Kim A. from New York City, and this is the kind of paragraph that when I would read this years ago without having a sponsor to like interpret it for me and help me relate to it, I would read this and I would be like, what a load of crap. It would just sound so like over the top and hokey to me. And, you know, there are a lot of places in this book where they talk about people having these spiritual experiences where they're like falling to their knees and the skies are opening and the angels are singing. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I would think of when I would read this paragraph in the past. Now I look at this and being recovered, having worked the steps and living in the steps, I can see that this is really just basically telling me that when I work the steps, and maybe it's not telling me this, but I kind of understand this now, that this relationship that I get with my higher power, I get this from working the steps. I didn't come in with any kind of concept of a higher power or any understanding of it, and I really didn't need that, right? All we need when we come in is just the basic understanding that we're not the most powerful force in the universe. There's something bigger or higher than us. And I didn't know how to connect with that power. I didn't know how to turn things over. I didn't need to know any of that. Working through the steps taught me how to do that. And this is basically telling me that as I learn to turn things over, right, my ways of eating, my character defects, right, my resentments and my selfishness and pausing throughout my day and asking for that next right thought or action, my thinking begins to change, right? And I get that psychic change that they describe a couple times in the book, which I didn't understand that either. And now I understand it's just a change in my psyche. A psychic change is just a change in my thinking and like resulting changes in my actions and my personality that come about from working the steps and understanding what it means to have a higher power in my life. It doesn't mean that I'm going to get everything I want and that, you know, I'm going to win the lottery and I'm going to, like, suddenly wake up and be gorgeous and have, like, the most perfect job and the most perfect relationship. No, it just is basically saying that I don't have to live my life the way I was. I don't have to live in selfishness. I don't have to live steeped in resentment, in fear, in self-pity, which would result in me needing to go to food for ease and comfort. And of course, I didn't see any of that before. This is telling me that my lack of power, which they say is like our basic dilemma, right? Not sugar, lack of power. Lack of power becomes an asset to me because I don't have to play the part of the director anymore, because that's where a lot of my problems began, right? That ego.
That's time,
that
Kim.
Needing. Okay, I'll wrap it up. That's it. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kim A. from New York City. All right, Lucy A., you're up next, followed by Lynn S. Go ahead, Lucy.
Good morning. Lucy A., New York City, gratefully recovered. I wanted to say to the newcomers, if you are here and thinking, there's no way that I could do what these people are doing, there's no way. For me, it's only willpower, and if I have the willpower, that was who I was. That's exactly what I used to say, and now I can tell you it's been different. If your life is difficult and you're thinking this is not for me because my life is very difficult, guys, right now my life is very, very difficult. My mom was just admitted to the ER, was placed in ICU. She is alive by the grace of God because she had a fall in December that she should not have survived in the real, you know, like in this world, but God saved her. By the grace of God, she lived to face another day. My husband is going through stage 4 stomach cancer right now, 9/11 related, and I can't control any of it. You know, it's not something that I can fix, something that I can change. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. And in the past, those are the situations that would have taken me directly to the food. Food was my solution, whether it was fear, pain, uncertainty. But today, by the grace of God, I am not doing that. I am here. I am here. I'm in the middle of the herd. I am sharing my story. I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I'm sponsoring. I'm working with people who need to do 10 steps. I'm taking outreach calls. I'm in meetings. I'm raising my hand at the meetings. The things that I once used to do, if they dawn on me, it's for a moment. And God has given me the ability to pause. God has given me the ability to say, you know what? I can feel the sadness. I could feel the fear. I could feel the exhaustion working full time, going to the hospital at night, seeing how my husband's feeling after he just had 2 days of chemo. While he was in chemo, my mom was in the ICU. And oh, wait, let's not forget, I have a full time job to keep because I'm holding my family afloat right now with my insurance and everything else. But when things feel too big, I don't try to solve it anymore. I used to be that person who had to solve everything and be everywhere. That was who I was. and that is not who I am today by the grace of God. And like Harlan said, God brought me to OA, and because I would have never been looking for OA because I thought I had it all together. In my crazy mind, I thought I had everything under control. But God brought me here by a high school student who asked me to pray for her, and she said she had a food addiction. And I was like, food addiction? Wow, maybe that's something I should look into for my daughter because she's very overweight and she needs help. And I went to the meeting thinking I was looking into this for my daughter who has a different relationship, and that's her life and her business, that I see that differently now as well. But back then I was like, yeah, I need to control my daughter and her life. Let me go look into these meetings. And I come into these meetings listening for something else, and all I hear is myself. All I hear is the mind, the control, the need to manipulate situations and to try to make everything
work out. That's time, Lucy.
Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Have a great day, guys.
And Lucy, where are you calling from, please?
New York City. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lucy A. from New York City. All right, Lynn S., you are up next, followed by Janice H. Go ahead, Lynn.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. The great fact is just this and nothing less. There is no other explanation for it. There is nothing else that could do this for me. Nothing else. That we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude. It slays me that talks about attitude because the main problem with the alcoholic rests in his mind, and there it's changed right there. God has changed me. For 36 years, I couldn't change one single thing about me. Not just my relationship with food, my relationship with people, the thoughts in my head, no matter which self-help book I picked up or which guru I followed or which religious person I trailed after or anything, which pills I took, anything. Not one single person, no form of human aid could make any difference in my life. And I tried it all. I tried it all. And here I come into OA, not even to lose weight, lost 100 pounds for 20 years, up and down and up and down and up and down. I came in because I had scared myself. I couldn't stop eating. And I knew two things. I knew I could not eat like this anymore. And eating like this to me meant 2 ounces of cottage cheese and carrots and celery sticks and all this jazz. Or forget that after 3 hours and let's just eat a whole cheesecake. I couldn't eat like that anymore. But more importantly, I could not live like this one more minute. I couldn't stand it. And I come into OA. And my whole attitude towards life and our fellows and towards God's universe. I had no use for God. I shut the door on God. I come into OA. And what does OA do? It gives us a relationship with God that totally changed my life. And the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty. I don't ponder it. I don't doubt it. But I know that God has entered into my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. It is a miracle. He has commenced to accomplish those things which for me, I could never do by myself. And nobody
else could. That's time,
Lynn. Thank you, Ray. Neither. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lynn S. from Toronto. Janice H., you are next, followed by Rick P. Go ahead, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice H., recovered compulsive overeater in California this morning. Thanks for the meeting, Rick, and thanks to everyone on the line. It's a blessing to start my day off this way. you know, for me, I am being guided. Like when I was first, I was coming back, you know, this time, and I was caring for my disabled husband, who I still cook for and serve him all kind of food that I can't eat. And I was powerless over all of that. And today, you know, as a blessing from working with a sponsor and, you know, praying and meditating and going through the steps, I do have power over that food today, you know, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm really just feeling blessed to be on this line. I wanted to check in because I haven't been sharing recently. It's sometimes hard for me to be up at this hour over here, you know, but I just am feeling very grateful. Like I as of like a couple weeks ago, I'm no longer obese, which is huge. And that's a blessing of this program, you know, and it's something I definitely could not have done on my own because I was trapped. And I've also re-engaged in a spiritual practice that I had set aside when my husband got sick because I was mad. I was angry at my higher power, and I felt like I had been let down. But what I didn't realize is I just made food my God. And I think that's what I don't realize. It's like if I'm not having a clear path to my higher power, I am putting something else in that spot of that I'm worshiping, be it, you know, work or spending money or other people. There's always something in that spot that I'm worshiping. So why don't I clear away whatever wreckage is blocking me from the sunlight of the Spirit and have that direct connection, you know, versus going around in circles and being trapped like I was before, because I was literally stuck for years. I kept seeing psychics and all kind of different, you know, healers, you know, not realizing that the truth is in me. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the meeting very much. Thank you, everyone, for being here, and have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Janice H. from California, and Rick P., you are up next, followed by Carrie C., but before we hear from Rick, just a reminder where we are from. We're on page 25, the second paragraph, beginning with "the great fact is just this," reading that one paragraph, ending with "we could never do by ourselves." Okay, Rick P., you are up next, followed by Carrie C.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Rick.
This is Rick T. in Hagerstown, Maryland. I'm 69 years old. In June of 2021, I got so sick I had to go to the hospital. And after the hospital, they sent me to a nursing home. I spent 3.5 years in that nursing home. I gained over 100 pounds while I was there. I was discharged from the nursing home in January of 2025. I did better for a while, but then I returned to overeating. In February 22nd of this year, I became abstinent again after all that time. I did something different on that day. I drank a 16-ounce glass of water as soon as I woke up. I didn't expect this to do anything. I got the idea from a YouTube video on longevity. I found it had two effects. It woke me up better than drinking coffee, and it curbed my appetite. I continued to drink water throughout the day. I was not even tempted to overeat. What I drink and when I drink it, to me, is just as important as what I eat. Can I leave my contact information?
We don't do that at this meeting.
Oh, okay.
Right now, so, but you can put your... Well, and thank you for sharing. And Carrie C., you are up next, followed by Joyce B. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi. So is it possible it's Suri C.?
Anything's possible with me. How do you spell your first name?
S-U-R-I.
S-U-R-I? Okay. And... I'll also check to see if there was a Carrie. I thought I had a Carrie in there, too. So, all right, Suri, see, you are up next, followed by possibly a Carrie, and we'll go from there.
Okay, hi. Suri C., compulsive overeater. I'm on the list from Connecticut. I'm currently in New York. I'm so grateful that this meeting is here every day, and for those manifold people that are behind the scenes doing service to put it together, that's my great fact. I am terrified. My fear in this program is all-encompassing, and yet, I am so grateful for not having let go of, you know, the hands of my higher power and this fellowship, because I was taught to overeat. It was, you know what, I could say that I was taught to overeat from when I was a baby, but it doesn't make a difference. Because the truth is that I'm in my 40s and I'm an adult and I have to work this program, and I'm not letting go even though I'm not recovered. And for those that are struggling with the food, even not being recovered from the food, I am grateful every day for this program, for the people that are recovered that do service, because I wouldn't be where I am even today if not for this program. And I've done a lot of things. My issue is with food, and food is sustenance. And to me, this program is sustenance. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Suri C. from Connecticut. And just to make sure that we're not leaving anyone out, was there a Carrie S. that had put their name in? Or
yes,
a Carrie?
There is.
Okay, you go ahead, Carrie.
Wonderful, thank you. This is my first time to share. I'm so grateful to get in. Thank you for your service. I am Carrie S. from Oklahoma. And I love this reading. I have employed this line, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself, for years in my life. For whatever reason, I'm certain that I tried it before with compulsive overeating. Like, I'm just certain. And so it's like, well, what was the difference? What was the difference? And then I came across this, God gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And those who trust in God will find new strength. And then it's the powerlessness piece. I always prayed that God would take my will in my life. I always prayed that and begged even, God, take this from me. I just don't want this anymore, in a begging manner. But I was not willing to admit that I was powerless. It's when I came to that point and said, God, I don't know how to do this. I cannot do this. When I get out of this bed in the morning and my feet hit the floor, if it's up to me, I will fail. Will you do for me what I cannot do for myself? And since then, I pray that same prayer for my phone calls. I forgot my phone calls yesterday. Will you help me remember my phone calls? I don't want to do my phone calls. Will you help me do my phone calls? I need a nutritionist. I don't want to get a nutritionist. Will you help me want to do that? And so this whole journey has been, where all am I taking up power? Where all am I being the director? And how quickly can I lay it down? Because it's laying it down that I have found victory in overeating, and I've released 40 pounds and I've not compulsively overate since May 1st of 2025. And I have a thyroid disorder, and but on paper, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And through the steps, I now understand what was blocking me from that power, and I practice getting it out of the way every day, because God's power in my life is so valuable to me today, and I'm so grateful that He does for me what I cannot do for myself. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Carrie S. from Oklahoma, and welcome to A Vision for You. Okay, let's see what I've got here. Joyce B., you are up next, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Joyce.
Thank you so much, Rick, and good morning, everyone. Well, I love this paragraph in the big book. For me, when I read this paragraph, it kind of encapsulates the whole purpose of the big book for me, and that is finding God. I thought I knew Him, but in studying this book and really working the steps, I found Him in a deeper way, and in a way that I have laid my life down and worked those steps. And when I do now, I mean them. I mean when I say, you know, I am powerless. I get it. I am powerless. I can't change myself. I have to depend on working the steps and letting God change me. And that, to me, is the whole purpose of what this program is all about. And it is, for me, indeed miraculous when I have seen, through working those steps, God change me and God doing for me what I could never, and I mean never, do for myself, because I tried and tried and tried. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop trying to be the director, trying to control everyone. And the central fact for me is, really, it wasn't about the food. It was about me and my relationships with God and with others that was the real central problem in my life. And until I addressed those issues, and I needed to address them by being abstinent so I could be clear-headed, until I addressed them, nothing got better in my life. But when I laid it down and accepted the fact that He's in charge, not me, my life indeed was filled with miracles, and it still is. And I am so grateful for recovery, eternally grateful, and I love this book. And thank you so much for letting me share, Rick. I pass, and everyone have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Joyce B. Could you please remind us where you're calling from, Joyce?
I'm so sorry. I'm from Illinois.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much, Joyce B. from Illinois. And Janice P.M., you are up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Janice.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick J. You're doing so good. I'm Janice P.M. I live in Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And while this paragraph, I mean, what I'm going to stress for myself to remember, of course, I'll never forget, this spiritual experience. Well, you know, this chapter says there is a solution. So I'm going to talk mostly about the a solution. We know the problems. We've been discussing them. We know that it's physical, and we know we have a mental obsession, but we didn't get this other part of the puzzle, which is the spiritual part. Well, of course, I didn't think that was any part of my problems. My problems, our problems. And if we look at this paragraph, there's so much about not I, but we, about us, the common problem. We all have the common problem. Now we're going to talk about the common solution in us, in ourselves. And of course, these are the questions. What is the great fact for us? Not just me, because it's not just my opinion. The people that wrote this book, our predecessors, told us what the solution is. And they also told us what is the central fact in our lives today. And so, you know, is the solution? Is it still alive today? Is the solution from our spiritual experiences that we find in this book, that we found not only in the fellowship, because, you know, that supports us. We need that part. But it's the practicing of the principles. But the solution is a higher power. Yeah, it's a higher power. And I was always looking for results, my results, his results, you know, not a recovered compulsive overeater's results. We found a deep and effective spiritual experience. What do you mean spiritual? I went to church, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, that didn't revolutionize my ideas and my attitudes. No, it didn't. It didn't revolutionize my attitude and ideas about other people, my self-help books. No, they didn't do it.
That's time, Janice.
Oh, okay. Well, at least we got the solution, the truth about our problems and our lives. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. And we have time for maybe three people, depending. Might turn a little bit of time off. Who else would like to share?
Herbert F.
I got nothing. I got Herbert F.
Nadia.
Again.
Barbara G.
I heard Barbara G. And Kristen R. Okay, we're going to see where we get from there, guys. And Herbert F., Barbara G., Kristen R. Herbert F., you are up, followed by Barbara. Go ahead, Herbert.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of my recovery today. And I wanted to offer my experience with a higher power, and I hope offer some encouragement to folks who are feeling discouraged about the word God. And I may be committing big book heresy here, but I feel like Bill is trying to convince us about God, but I try to look beyond that and think, well, okay, this is his tradition, this is his spiritual tradition, and the people that influenced him by the Bible. And there's clear quotes from the Bible. He may not reference it, but I'll just say this, that the God of my childhood is no longer the God that I have adopted today, and that has rescued me from this deadly disease of compulsive overeating one day at a time. You know, that God was willing to condemn me to fiery hell with frogs and rivers of blood. And that God was willing to do that because I did not believe in his son, Jesus Christ. So I had to put that aside, that intolerance, and because I started to become very condemning of Christianity and the God of the Bible. And that gave me justification. You know, I don't need God. And so it just fed my ego for all of my adulthood. You know, I went to Catholic school for 14 years, Catholic college. And So I had to put all that aside and just accept that, you know, there was a higher power. And so I'm just encouraging folks to replace the term God with higher power. And the book also encourages me and us to explore what that means to us. It requires us to do that, to put aside our prejudice and intolerance, as I have done after many, many decades of intolerance and judgment. Because let me tell you, I thought I was my own God, or at least I didn't need my own. I didn't need God. And after 10 years of violence towards myself and resentment towards other people, I finally was able to find recovery and set that aside. And it's still a struggle, but I hope that may help because I can see easily how the book and the multiple references to God might turn folks away. But just remind us and remind those of you that might be listening and struggling with this concept that the book really encourages us and requires us to find our own conception of God. And that has helped me grow in my sense of spirituality and humility, and to help me understand on a day-to-day basis. I have heard from one of my great mentors on this line. He may not know it, but you know, he says, there's only two things I need to understand about God, that it's not me, and that there is one, and it is not me. So God bless everyone, and thank you for your service again. I'll pass.
Okay, Barbara G. and Kristen R., I'm going to give you 2 minutes each, and thank you, Herbert F. from New Mexico. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes, hi, Rick. Good morning. This is Barbara G. from Davis, California, currently in New York. And I am very happy to share after quite a long time, and I do want to focus on the word miraculous, which I was reflecting over in these last few days, looking at the level of unselfishness that I see myself experiencing as I go throughout my days. Especially in these days, I am living with someone who has dementia, and the way I naturally have this need to just place this person's needs before my whatever priorities, which I am able to take care of today, thanks to the way my mind works, because the food is not around, because I keep working the steps on a daily basis, because I keep doing a night review that helps me being unblocked with my higher power. All these things have allowed me these days to just see how I can be of service, and really to see that for me is miraculous. It fills me with joy because I didn't know I could be someone that could really think about how can I contribute to life. And if this is possible, it's because in the last 8 years, after I put the food down, I have very diligently just done what these steps tell me to do, one day at a time, without no exception, and I continue doing that. And if that is possible, it is because God has given me this grace.
That's fine, Barbara.
And that's it. And thank you very much for being there. Thanks for your service, Rick. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara G. from California. Kristen R., you can go ahead and take us out.
Thank you. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. So I was a chronic relapser. I couldn't get more than a day out of the food, not even a half day. And it went on for 8 years. So what did I do? I finally chose to believe in a power greater than myself that could help me. I forgot about all the wars in the world. I forgot about all the people who were so much more desperate than me. And I decided to believe that there was a higher power who could help me with my food, who could help me with my binging. And once I did that, the urges lifted, and I haven't binged since I began to believe. So what's more important in my life, abstinence or my relationship with my higher power? I look at them as a yin-yang sign. They both are important. I can't have one without the other. I can't be abstinent without the power of my higher power. And I can't believe in my higher power. I'm blocked from my higher power as long as I'm in the food, as long as I'm binging and choosing the binging over my higher power. So I'm just grateful today to be in this meeting. Thank you for everybody who does service. And as someone else says on this line, you're saving my life every day. So thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Chris and Otto from Virginia. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second hour of unrecorded study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, is 23,294. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy M. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Did you mean Christina?
Oh, possibly so. Yes, I am so sorry. Christina.
No worries, Rick. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.